الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته ومن تبعهم بإحسان وبعد. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah who guided us to Islam and to Iman and to His Mubarak house on this Mubarak day of this Mubarak month. And we were not to be guided, was it not that Allah had guided us? O Allah, to you is praise as is commensurate with the majesty of your countenance and the greatness of your authority. O Allah, we do not limit you with any praise we can come up with ourselves. Rather, we admit that you are the only one who knows the true extent of your praiseworthiness. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon his servant and messenger, our master Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon him and upon his noble companions and upon his pure wives and upon his Mubarak and blessed family and progeny and upon all of those who follow all of their way until the Day of Judgment. By the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached the sacred month of Muharram. This is the month in which all the Hujjaj have returned, inshallah, salimina, ghanimina, in a good state in their bodies and enriched with the riches of both the dunya and of the deen to their homes. It is the first month of the Islamic New Year, the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the event which marks the 0 year. However, the Hijrah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam did not happen in the month of Muharram. Rather, it happened on a Monday in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. Rather, the 0 year was retroactively picked by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu by his ijtihad and by his brilliant and genius ijtihad, which the entire ummah accepts. Even there's a section of the people who claim to be part of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they curse Umar radiallahu anhu, but they accept his ijtihad in this and on many other matters. That retroactively from his caliphate, they marked the 0 year from the hijrah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his having moved from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. There is a difference in English between two words that are very similar. Immigration with an I and emigration with an E. Generally, we spell immigration with an I in America. It was a clever differentiation made up by Americans in the 19th century or perhaps earlier, that the idea before, at least in the English language, the idea before was what? Was that nobody leaves their home except for when their home goes to such horrible circumstances they can't stay anymore. So they're leaving. Why? Because how bad things are back home. So Americans said, no, this is immigration with an I. Come live in America. Leave your homes in Europe. Leave your homes in the mainland and come across the ocean, because this is a place where you'll have a better life. You'll have land. You'll be able to start businesses, you'll be able to do all of these things, and look how amazing life is over here. And in fact, they used to make propaganda, for lack of a better term, about how amazing it was in America. Undoubtedly, it was probably better for them economically to live in America, at least many of them. But sometimes they would inject some embellishments when people came to America. They realized it's really not that amazing. But khair, at least those of our forefathers who came by choice, some of them were forced in chains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be their recompense for that in this world and the hereafter. But at any rate, the idea is that they said immigration with an I. You're not leaving because of how bad things are back home, you're leaving because of how wonderful things are where you're going. And it's very interesting that this differentiation is there. And if I were to pick a word for the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would be that zahiran, from the outside, they left. Why? Because they were tortured and they were punished and they were given a hard time and their properties were seized from them and their homes became unsafe from them because of the machinations of the kuffar and the mushrikeen, at the behest of shaitan, at the behest of people's own nafs, at the behest of people's own hawa. But because they didn't know what they were going to. Whenever a Muslim, whenever a person who says La ilaha illallah goes from one place to the other, it's always good for them. This is not because of propaganda, because they wanted to populate Medina Munawwara. This is because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his every word is wahi. His every word is wahi. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak. Allah Ta'ala says in his book, Surah Al-Najm, he doesn't speak from caprice or from vanity. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Indeed, his speech is nothing except for a revelation which is revealed to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith Sahih Muslim, عجبا لأمر المؤمن فإن أمره كله خير. How wondrous is the affair of the believer, because his affair, all of it is good. If he's in a good state, he shows thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's good for him. And if he's in a state of tribulation, he shows patience with Allah ta'ala, and that's what? It's good for him. What did they know that by leaving their homes and leaving their properties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them something afterward, give them such a victory, that not only will they get Makkah Mukarramah back, but Allah ta'ala will literally open the doors of the treasures of this world and the hereafter up for them and throw them at their feet. Literally, Suraqah ibn Malik, the Bedouin tracker. Bedouins were not wealthy and rich people then, nor are they today. They're very simple people. They're simple-minded people. When they come into the city, it's very strange, because oftentimes they don't know how to do things that city people are accustomed to. So there may be you may be in a city, and there's a bathroom very close by, and you'll see the Bedouin urinating in the street, because the idea of using a separate lavatory for a bathroom is not normal to that person. So these people are not enfranchised people. Suraqah ibn Malik, in the reign of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that when I was tracking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before I became Muslim, in order to what? In order to drag him for a reward of 100 camels to the mushrikeen of Quraysh, and Allah ta'ala prevented me from coming anywhere near him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, put my arms down and gestured, come, let's just have a talk. He asked me, how much did they promise to pay you for bringing me back to them? He said, 100 camels. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, he wasn't even a Muslim at the time. He said to him, what would you say if I told you that one day, if you stick with me, one day Allah ta'ala will give you the bangles of Kisra, of the Persian emperor, to wear? He said, I guess, I don't know. Like, what is he supposed to say? He didn't even believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time. Maybe someone who believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that time would believe that what he's saying is true, but would have no idea, how is this even possible? The day came, the scepter and the cloak and the crown and the bangles, the rings, the entire imperial wardrobe, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam promised him, he was dressed up in it, and in the court of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in front of all the Muslims. Where? In Medina Munawwara. In Medina Munawwara, he walked back and forth, vaunting as if he's the Persian emperor. And then after a little while of doing this, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, take it off now. He said, you can wear them. He said, he didn't say you can keep them. Right? This is what outwardly looks like, man, everything, because of my deen, it was so difficult. I had to give everything up. I had to do this, that, and the other thing. And why me? Why us? And they had to leave their homes. They had to leave everything they loved. It wasn't like today. Today we move around. A person will move around 3-4 times before they die. Some people move 10 times. Some people live their life on the road. It's become common. In those days, those are tribal people. You're literally leaving everyone you know and everyone you love. They were leaving the house of Allah Ta'ala. But what they didn't know, still it was better for them. Still it was better for them. And brothers and sisters, literally just like that hijrah of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which we celebrate, and literally Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, from his ijtihad, of all of the events that happened during the life and the nubuwah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in the history of his ummah, he picked that event as being the zero year, even though it bisects the nubuwah, the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, almost evenly. He picked that event in order to mark the beginning of the keeping of time. Just like that, brothers and sisters, remember, whatever you give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not the part that you lose, it's the part that you keep. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed that an animal was slaughtered in his house by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he asked, what is left behind? And so she said, just the katif, the shoulder. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like eating the shoulder from the front leg, not from the back ones, because it was further away from the najasa, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very particular about cleanliness in a way that most people aren't. So she said, I saved that part that you like for you, and the rest of it we gave it away for charity. That's the only part that's left. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do? He told Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He said, no, that's the part we lose. The rest of it is the part that we keep. Why? Because it's mahfuz, it's preserved with you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you see how in the Qur'an, people read Surah Yasin, some of them every day. Some of them read Surah Yasin every day. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. That there's a story, the story of the hijra, by and large, at least on a ummah-wide level, it's a story with a happy ending. Individuals, however, died. They gave their lives in the middle of it. You don't know, are you the individual who is going to live happily ever after, or are you the individual, Allah Ta'ala will take you back before He takes other people. We hear the news of people who are our own age, younger than us, dying in a car accident, dying from cancer, dying from this disease or from that disease, people losing their wealth, their money, entire nations of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see them destroyed before our eyes. It seems like it happens, a new one every 6 months, every couple of months it happens. A person wonders, what's going on? What's going on? Whoever Allah Ta'ala chooses for this difficulty and for this tribulation, and whoever Allah Ta'ala doesn't choose, that's His choice. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He is not to be asked about what He does. Rather, the creation, they're the ones who will be asked by Him. In Surah Yasin, Allah Ta'ala tells the story about a man who comes to the aid of not just one Nabi, of three Anbiya alayhimu salam, who are calling their people toward the deen. He's the only one who accepts their da'wah, their call and their claim. And he stands with him. And he's not a person of maqam with his people. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ. The person comes from way the outside. He's not the person with the CEO with a penthouse office downtown. He's just one of the simple people. He comes from the furthest away. Those are oftentimes the people who give the most sacrifice. And what happens? It's not even explicitly mentioned in the text of the Quran, but it's understood what happens. That because he stood with the haqq and he stood with the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his people killed him. And even the mention of his murder and his killing is omitted from the Quran. All it is what? That it jumps straight to what? That when he dies and his spirit comes out and it meets with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels. What does he say? The first comment he makes, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. I wish my people knew. I wish my neighbors knew. I wish my family members knew. I wish my relatives, my children, everybody. I wish all of my people knew. Your qawm is what? Your qawm is not the people who follow the same religion as you. This is a common mistake actually in the Urdu language. Your qawm is not your people you follow the same religion as. Otherwise in the Quran, why are all the anbiya saying to their people? Sayyidina Hud is saying to Ad, Ya Qawmi. And Sayyidina Salih is saying to Thamud, Ya Qawmi. They obviously didn't ever accept his religion. They were never on the same religion. But your qawm is who? The people you share your values with, your cultures with, you celebrate the same holidays with them, you wear the same clothes as them, you like to eat the same food as them, fine, your pizza may have like halal pepperoni and theirs isn't, but it's, you know, that you have something in common with them. He says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Woe that my people knew. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. How much my Lord has forgiven me, how much my Lord has honored me. When you say we make ikram for somebody, when you honor a guest, what does it mean? They sit you in a nice place, they feed you. If you ask for water, they'll run and get water for you. If you ask for anything in the house, a person makes ikram for you. If you ask for anything they're able to do, they'll run, they'll hasten in order to provide that for you. That's the ikram of the creation. Imagine what the ikram of the Creator is. Imagine what the ikram of the Creator is. This hijra has a connection with these days. And further than that, according at least to the local North American moon sighting, the 10th of Muharram is coming on Sunday. The 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, is coming on Sunday. The day of Ashura was a day celebrated by the Mushrikeen in Jahiliyyah as well. And it was also, but they didn't know why they celebrated it. And the 10th of Muharram was a day celebrated also by who? By the Jews in Medina. And they knew why they celebrated it. They told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what? They said, this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave najat. He saved Banu Israel from Fir'aun and from their enemies. And they said, we fast on this day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on that day anyway. But he said what? He said, I have more haqq to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam than you do. Why? Because the person who shares the genes with somebody, they have some closeness with them. But it's not complete closeness. Why? Because the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, the two of them are brothers, and one kills the other. How many times do we see a father and son, they go on different paths? Two brothers go on different paths. People from the same family, from the same tribe, they go on different paths. The nisba tamma, the complete and fulfilled connection that two people have with one another is when it is inside of the heart. When it's inside of the heart. Not the labdab physical heart, but the spiritual heart, which is the seat of intentions, where all intentions come from. If you're a smart person and the heart is good, it will use your smartness for good things. If you're a smart person and your heart is evil, it will make nuclear weapons and it will argue falsehood and lie and cheat people and trick people and do all of these things. When your nisba is complete inside of the heart, this is a complete connection that two people have with one another. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said what? He said that my nisba with Musa alayhi salam is complete. Your nisba is not complete. It's partial. We accept the fact that you have perhaps some genetic relationship with him. But my nisba is complete because of how our connection is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of what we do in this world and what we did and what we're going to do in the hereafter, what our maqam is going to be in the hereafter. Don't you see the Isra and Mi'raj from the hadith regarding the Isra and Mi'raj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in such a high maqam in Jannah that when he crossed his maqam, Musa alayhi salam himself said, I didn't know that anybody was able to go further than me. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when hearing about what? About this fast of regarding the celebration and the shukr, the thanks to Allah Ta'ala for saving the believers on that day, with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of his ghairah for the deen. Out of his ghairah for the deen, he said, what? I have more right to Musa alayhi salam. And what is ghairah? Ghairah is a virtue in Islam that has no word in English. There are two words, there's no one word translation for them in English, ghairah and haya. And that's maybe why nobody has any ghairah here and nobody has any haya. Ghairah is that feeling a person has for something that's close and special to them. A person would feel bad if someone said a woman was unjustly robbed in the street in the street in front of the masjid. You would feel bad. If someone said your mother was unjustly robbed in the street in front of the masjid, naturally there will be a difference in how you feel. That difference is what? That difference is that feeling is called what? It's called ghairah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had ghairah for the deen. And we also should have ghairah for the deen. Don't you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave najat to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam on this day, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on this day, and how he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasts on this day, I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a good hope, that it will count for them as an expiation for the sins of an entire year. You fast on that day and make tawbah for your sins, Allah Ta'ala forgives you. He has no need to punish anybody. He has no need to punish anybody. It's a sahih hadith that Allah Ta'ala says, oh son of Adam, do all the sins you want. Sin so much that it fills as far as the eye can see. The eye can see other galaxies, light years away. Maybe someone with their fasad will fill the universe with destruction one day. He says, oh son of Adam, make your sins so much like the oceans. Make your sins so much that it goes as far as the eye can see. Ask me for forgiveness and I'll forgive you. وَلَا أُبَالِي. And it doesn't bother me one bit. Fast on this day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I have good hope that Allah Ta'ala accept it from you as the expiation. Make tawbah, repent for your sins. Don't just keep doing them. Feel bad about them. Stop doing them. Fast on this day and hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what? He will forgive you the sins of a year. The Mufassirun say that Banu Israel doesn't maintain only that on this day Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was saved from Fir'aun and from his hosts. Rather, it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which is sahih. This is hadith on Banu Israel wa la haraj, or kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. You can tell the stories of Banu Israel, there's nothing wrong with it. If they say something which is against what's in the book of Allah Ta'ala or what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then we know it's wrong. If they say something that's in conformance with it, then we know it's right. Between those two things, if somebody listens to one of their stories and they benefit in their deen, without changing their deen, then there's nothing wrong with that. The Mufassirin say that the Banu Israel don't just say that this is the day Allah Ta'ala gave Najat to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Rather, this is the day Allah Ta'ala saved Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam from the fire. And this is the day that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, that his ship after the flood, it came to rest. And they say this is the day that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam comes back to land after being inside of the belly of the whale. This is the day of fatah, victory and nasr from Allah Ta'ala's help. When the ummah, their back is pinned against the wall. Don't you see? This ummah, not just of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the best of it, but this entire tradition of the deen, starting from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, through the stories of all of the Anbiya alayhi salam, always the deck is stacked against us in the dunya, except for one thing, that we have Allah ta'ala on our side. If you can use the help of Allah ta'ala, you will be successful as an ummah. I give you bishara, I give you glad tidings. If we turn our back on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no way in the world of causes and effects and of physical things that we are going to have help from Him. So if you see more than 400,000 refugees thrown out of their homes in Burma, if you see the largest cholera outbreak in the entire world happening in Yemen, child mortality rates through the roof in Yemen, if you see people are dying of malnutrition in Yemen and there's no major source of any sort of aid getting in or even allowed into the country, if you see Sham, and we only can cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely destroyed, if you see the entire populace of Halab is completely gone and the people who live there are strangers in its streets, if you see the destruction of Mosul and the destruction of many of the great cities of Iraq, if you see all of these things, Somalia, all of these places, Afghanistan, if you see all of these things happening in front of your eyes, if you see that many large countries in the Muslim world, swaths of the Muslim world, especially the Arabic speaking world, where a person cannot practice the deen without military or dictatorship or tyranny getting up on their back, if you see even over here, right, the ridiculous things that are happening, the ridiculous ways people are expressing satanic sentiments, like that of brother being separated from brother based on the color of their skin. If you see all of these things, remember Allah Ta'ala gave help to the people who stood by His deen and stood by the haqq in the past. And Allah Ta'ala, this is our aqidah, that He never changes. وَلَا تَجِدُوا لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَا تَجِدُوا لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. You'll never find the way Allah Ta'ala deals with people that there's a change in it. You'll never find that it transfers from one thing to another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. We change, He doesn't change. If you know He gave victory in the past, this is a key that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us to unlock the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for His nubuwa, we would not have known. Right, that Allah Ta'ala is the one who said, وَلَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Be thankful for the help that Allah gave to those people who made themselves worthy of it. Maybe the mazid, the ziyada, the increase, it will come on us even if we're not exactly worthy of it in the same way that they are. Anyone who says La ilaha illallah has a special maqam with Allah Ta'ala. Maybe we didn't give that maqam its proper haqq. But show shukr to Allah Ta'ala. The days are not that long. You know, skip your lunch. That's essentially what it's going to be. Skip your lunch on the day of Sunday. Wake up. You're not going to go to work, most of you. Wake up late if you want to. Spend the day reading Quran. Don't waste the day watching television or listening to music. Spend the day with, you know, reading Quran, tasbih. Try to pray your prayers inside of the masjid. And when the moment before you're about to eat, when any other person say, oh my God, you guys don't get to drink water, your religion's really hard, man. Right? When everybody else is you know, their animal self would have taken over at that point. Just a minute, 30 seconds before it's time for the adhan. You're the one at that time that you're focused on who? On Allah Ta'ala. That's the bonus round. Ask for Allah Ta'ala. Whatever you want to ask Allah Ta'ala, ask Him in any moment. That's a very mubarak moment. Ask Him in that moment. Ask Him. Everything is big and small. It's all equally easy for Him, Jalla wa'ala. Ask Him for the help that we need. In Mace, we need, and we need as an ummah. We need as an America. We need as a people. We need the help in that moment. You know, you won't, I promise you, nobody at that time, at that moment when they're asking Allah Ta'ala is going to say, oh, I wish I'd eaten lunch. Nobody. Most of us, subhanAllah, we probably could miss a couple of meals and it would be good for us, even in the world of like physical things. Nobody will, when you're going through the day, you might be like, it's difficult. Really, honestly, the most difficult part of the fast is before the fast begins. Because shaitan is getting up in your head. Once the fast starts, most people don't even feel hungry anymore. Nobody regrets it while they're fasting. Illa man sha'Allah. Do it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala accept it from you. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْمَعِينَ. يَقُولُ رَبُّ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ